The Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. Whatever stage your business is at, there's always time to imagine sustainable, positive change. AIB, for the life you're after.
And our first guest this morning is a Limerick man who was raised by a single mum in Limerick. He excelled at computer programming, but a weekend in Kerry changed his life forever. He fell in love with the wild and wonderful landscape and ultimately followed his dream and opened a landscape photography studio in Kenmare. That was 10 years ago. And he hasn't looked back since. Norman McCloskey, you're very, very welcome to the programme. We're going to come to the four published books, the acclaimed art gallery in Kenmare, but let's go back to where it all started and Limerick, the youngest of six, a single parent family. What was it like back in those 1980s times in a housing estate in Limerick?
I think the 80s was probably one of the best decades to grow up in as a teenager anyway. But it was great in many respects. We had a lot of freedom. The house, the estate where we grew up in, you know, I had an end terrace house. There was a green field beside it. Beside that, beyond that was fields all the way to the west of Ireland. But urban sprawl eventually caught up with us and kind of cut us off from that, and the housing estates grew up. But it was pretty good. Fairly unremarkable childhood, really, to be honest with you. I wasn't exactly, you know, sporting or talented in any other way, but lots of friends and the usual kind of playing out in the streets and kind of thing.
And your mom was a formidable woman of her time, providing for the six of you.
It must have been difficult. I mean, I actually kind of only more appreciate that now as I'm a parent myself and growing up. And by the time I was maybe six or seven, you know, my two eldest siblings had left home. So my mum had either four or three of us there at the time. But she was great. And, you know, it must have been tough for her, because back then in the 80s, it was a bit of a stigma. You know, you were from what was called a broken home, a phrase which I always hated. But she was fantastic. She worked full time. She was a telephonist for the post office, a telephone operator. And then she just did an amazing job in terms of, you know, she was very house proud and incredibly resourceful. You'd come home from school and she could be up a ladder painting or putting wallpaper in the living room, or the sewing machine would be going, you know.
And when you came home, I'm sure there were evenings where she had to go off because she was the single breadwinner at the time for the six of you. Was there ways and means to get in contact with her back then when she was working for a telecom?
You literally picked up the phone and dialed zero and said, "Can I speak to my mum, please?" Everyone knew who I was.
And be random things, I assume, back then of a six, 7 year old.
It was quite amusing, but it was great. And she worked evenings and so on. But she was quite formidable in, you know, what she had to kind of have on her plate at the time. And, you know, money was tight, but we never really wanted for anything. Which is great, and I'm very thankful for.
Yeah, she sounds like an amazing lady. Did you feel the absence of your dad back then, or is it only in later years now as a father you can kind of reflect on where those absences were?
I think when he left, I was too young to really understand it. I couldn't really understand the incredible finality of it. It was just, he was gone and wasn't coming back type of thing. And I suppose parenting was different back then. You didn't really sit your kids down and have to explain everything to them and feel like you had to go through your every kind of detail of your life with them. So I didn't really understand it. But you're right. I becoming a parent myself is when you actually really feel it. It's a very strange thing. You suddenly then become aware of this kind of shadow of a void that was kind of there in your whole life. Especially when my son was born, because he was just a bit an image of me as a little young fella. But it's something you know I've kind of spent more time coming to terms with. As a kid, I had kind of these coping mechanisms where I kind of told myself, well, aren't I the lucky one? I have a great mom, and I kind of missed all the hassle. It's part and parcel of who I am. I met an extraordinary lady, a customer in the gallery a few years ago, who kind of pointed out that everything in your life, whether good or bad, brought you to where you are today and made you the person you are, and, you know, led you to take this photograph that I'm now going to buy. So I thought, well, that's a quite simple but brilliant way of looking at things, you know.
And with that mindset, when it came to picking what you were going to do in college, you mentioned there you weren't necessarily sporty or academic, but you did find your way to college and computer studies. Was that by accident or was that by design at the time?
No, it was, school wasn't for me. I never really applied myself at all. And when all my friends and classmates were going off to college, I found myself kicking my heels without anything. I had put down hotel management on my CEO course because I was working since I was 15 in a hotel in Limerick, and that's what I thought I wanted to do, but that didn't happen. And, you know, I actually stumbled across a new fee-paying institute in Limerick, which is a third-level college. I picked up a brochure, brought it home, showed it to my mum, and then we looked at the prices for the courses, and that was a big sticking point. But somehow she managed, I think she got a credit union loan, managed to put me through my first year, and for the second year, you know, she couldn't pull the same rabbit out of the same hat twice. So my brother, actually in Germany, sold, I think,
did that
shares.
Create a sense of responsibility when the family are pulling it all together to give you that?
Absolutely.
Education.
I mean, I, you know, I felt it was really incumbent on me to work as hard as I could to really take a grasp of what, you know, what I was doing. And amazingly, I took to it really well. I worked hard. I graduated first in my class. I was ended up student of the year and had a couple of unconditional offers from universities in the UK to go on and study, which I ended up deferring and going to Kerry instead.
So tell us about going to Kerry. I think you're in your 20s. Tell us the moment you're starting to kind of find and discover a love for photography, the first camera.
Yeah, I went for a few days, ended up kind of staying forever. And that first summer that I was there, I was having an absolute ball. I was having the time of my life. I was working for a Dutchman who owned a restaurant. And one day we were all roped into helping him move house. And, you know, during the relays of bringing boxes out to vans, I just happened to pick up this unusual looking silver flight case. Curiosity got the better of me. I put it down the ground and I asked Renee, you know, what's this? And before he'd even a chance to answer, I had it open. And inside was this pristine camera I'd never seen the likes of before. I was absolutely transfixed with it. And I just immediately asked, can I borrow this? I'd never seen anything like it before in my life. And a few days later, I found myself cycling out onto the Beira Peninsula, just spending the day by myself, taking pictures of trees and waterfalls and so on. And when I got the results back, you know, you sent your photos off to Spectrophoto back in the day. 5 days later, you have this little envelope of prints. And I opened that in a coffee shop in Kenmare and, you know, my life changed there and then. You know, I really knew it for the first time in my life. I knew this is actually something that
found the calling,
that I feel there's something for me. Yeah.
And that moment where you became transfixed in those days and the first photos being produced, had you any inkling that maybe there had been a first love, but back in childhood, that maybe something had triggered, there was a signal that this might be the destiny, this might be the calling?
This is the strange part of it. Years later, when I was working in the sports photography agency and I was, you know, having a quite a successful career, I was chatting to my mum and I just said to her, who'd have ever thought, you know, I'd end up in, you know, in photography? And she said, well, I did. And I couldn't understand what she meant. She said, half those pictures in our photo album were taken by you. I could never take a camera out of your hand as a kid. And, you know, then she reminded me that when I was 10, the only prize I probably ever won in my life was a camera at her staff party. So it was there. And then when she passed away, you know, we were going through all these photographs and I kind of started project scanning them. And there, even though there was absolutely zero contact with my father and my whole life, he was an avid photographer. And every picture of him in every photograph, he had a camera in his hand. So that kind of, that's one of those strange ones.
The nature-nurture reminder of how our parents hand these legacies down to us, sometimes intentionally and sometimes subconsciously?
I think there's a lot of subconscious going on there.
And because of that love and this discovery of this amazing calling in life, you decided to study, to really have the radical focus in Dublin, took up a course. And then, as you say, the first job then was with a sports photography agency.
Yeah, I mean, once I kind of, you know, the spark happened with photography, I wanted to find out everything there was about it. This was pre-internet, pre-YouTube days. There wasn't even a book on photography in the library in Kenmare. But I was lucky that I happened to bump into a friend of mine whose boyfriend was applying for a photography course in Dunleary. She told me about it and he was arriving that day. We met up, we hit it off. He actually helped me through the whole process of applying for the course and we both got in. And, you know, that led me on to, you know, after the college course, working as an assistant commercial photographer. That was great fun, and it was all exciting and that, but I didn't really want to be a commercial photographer either. And I ended up then just applying for a job at Info Sports Photography. And I thought, well, you know, I was 26 by now. That was going to be my first proper full-time job.
Yeah. And instead, the byline of Norman McCloskey was with them for, what, 18 years in the end?
Yeah, but I wasn't a photographer for Info. When I went in, I was working on the picture desk, and there was a very, very clear and well-worn path from going into work in the picture desk to graduating on to be a sports photographer. Those opportunities were handed to me, and I did do some photography for
Info.
So
you were marrying kind of then the computer ability with the love of photography.
Exactly. I had, you know, I ticked a few boxes in the interview, but, you know, I had chances and I was given a camera and brought along to events. And, you know, I had, you know, one particular, I was placed behind the goal at a World Cup qualifier for Republic of Ireland. I took a picture of, I think, Dennis Irwin scoring a penalty. It was all over the front pages of the papers next day. And you would kind of think that that would be my big break. But I think my boss was a bit bewildered at my apathy towards it all the next day. I wasn't that excited because I knew the industry from the inside. I knew how arbitrary the process was. Instead, I just focused on, I suppose, you know, running the picture desk and then developing, you know, other sides of the company.
And so 2003 marked something of a game-changing moment, the opportunity to ultimately work from home. Mm-hmm. You'd been travelling back and forth to Kerry for years and years. You had the love of Kerry, but you also had love in your personal life. And the moment came to make a big decision. Do we go? Do we move to Kerry finally? Forever.
Yeah, I had, I mean, I don't know where the idea of working from home came from. I honestly don't. But one day I was out walking on the Hill of Howth with my girlfriend, who's now my wife. And I just happened to say to her, you know, do you fancy moving to Kerry? Amazingly, she said yes without hesitation. 3 weeks later, we were loading a van and I had to break the news to Billy, my boss, that, look, I'm going to work from home. And he kind of says, OK. And then I had to put in the little addition of, well, home is going to be in Kerry. But we made it work. It was fantastic. I moved down in 2004. That was always the goal, was to move back to Kenmare. And I had the best of both worlds. I had a fantastic job. And I was back in the landscape that I loved.
And you took then probably the riskiest decision in life, which was, we're going to do a gallery. And to put, I suppose, mortgage and family patience, and anyone who's ever started a business knows the endurance that comes with it. But you got to love it and you got to believe in it. It worked out for you.
Yeah. I mean, look, it was always the dream. It was something that I'd wanted to do for forever, since I first picked up a camera, and specifically to have a gallery in Kenmare. And to be honest with you, I thought the chance had passed so many times. You know, it was too risky a thing to even think about, you know, when you have two young kids, a mortgage and everything else. But eventually the opportunity literally walked in the door with my wife. Actually, she met a lady on the street who told her about a premises that was coming up. She came home, mentioned it to me. Immediately, I was as pessimistic as I always was about these things and kind of batted her off and, you know, just didn't back myself. But I said, look, I'll tell you what, we'll finish it, the idea, and just go and ask her what the rent would be. She came back and told me, I did some very quick mental calculations, said, well, I'm already selling enough books and prints online to cover this. So I decided to go for it. And, you know, I didn't just kind of jump out the plane with a parachute. I went down to a 3-day week with Info, but that didn't last long. We eventually went full time.
And all of these years later, that gallery in Kenmare is hugely acclaimed. You're exporting, I think, to something like 30 countries, employing 4 people. The following your dreams, the calling has worked out. To people listening to you this morning who, a little bit like you, maybe found them time to find their way, what would you say to them?
I still kind of pinch myself, to be honest with you. And I'm very proud of what we've done over the 10 years. I love going into the gallery. I don't work there as much myself. I'm studio based at home, but I think, you know, the time served me well in waiting. I was definitely ready and more set up to actually to be there and ready to do it. And yeah, it's worked out fantastically.
Okay, well, I think the lesson there is follow your dreams, do what makes you happy, and a love of learning. Congratulations to you, Norman McCloskey, photographer, gallery owner, author of Headlands and three other books. Thank you so much for joining us here this morning on The Biz.